It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good morning. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Day 9 of 10 on the Gil schedule. Jason Kahn's here as well, producer number 7.
Morning.
Good morning, Jason. It is. It's been a fun ride. Pretty amazing. It's going to be 90% of the way done in 2 hours from now. But I'm excited for today's show. We have Robbie Callen right off the jump in about 4 minutes from now. We'll talk NBA draft. We'll talk some NFL, and quite possibly, I got to give WynnBET some credit here. Quite possibly, the most diabolical college football prop I've ever seen that was released by WynnBET last night. So I'll ask Robbie all about that in a little less than 5 minutes. The Gold Cup is back tonight. Paul Carr will be with us at 10:45 Eastern time here on the program. Again, Jason Kahn, all Paul Carr does whenever he's on this program is give away winners. It was two non-sweats on Saturday. The Qatar match, way over. It was 3-2. Mexico easily covering all numbers that Paul gave out on that Asian handicap against Honduras on Saturday last weekend. And Sean King, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, former Super Bowl champion, will be with us at the top of the next hour, and we will go through basically everything with Sean King. We've had him on plenty of shows here on the network. He is absolutely awesome. So Sean King with us at 11 o'clock as well. But let's go quickly here to the main event of tonight, which is the NBA draft. There will be fans in attendance at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn as the ode to Cade Cunningham is going to be complete tonight at around about 8:20 Eastern time. Minus 5,000 to go number one right now at BetMGM to go number one for Cade Cunningham. And for the Detroit Pistons, a franchise that has not picked this high since make the right pick back in the day, back in 2003. Good old Darko at number two instead of Carmelo or Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh. What are you going to do? It didn't matter. Detroit ended up flipping around and winning the title the next year anyway, even with making the wrong pick. But this is an easy selection at number one, despite the noise that was around after Cunningham had an underperforming NCAA tournament, two games against Liberty and then Oregon State. But Cunningham, to me, is, again, surefire, minus 5,000. Look, I never endorse laying that much, but Cade Cunningham's going number one. And if you have the bankroll and you're just trying to get a free $100, it probably is a free $100 at this point, even at minus 5,000. The biggest mover has been number two, Jalen Green. And these numbers on your screen are from BetMGM, but at DraftKings was as high as plus 165 to go number two. That minus 400 is about consensus, minus 400 at BetMGM, minus 475 now at DraftKings. So actually minus 400, that has moved over the last 10 minutes. So that's a minus 500 now on Jalen Green. So that number just keeps climbing. The only concern there is the Rockets have a new front office. They've been relatively tight-lipped, but again, it would be a shocker to me if Green didn't go number two. And if you got that plus 165 about a month ago, you did pretty darn well. Obviously, someone this morning on the East Coast woke up and decided to move a bunch of these lines over the last 20 minutes because Evan Mobley's now bet up to minus 350 to go number three, and Jalen Suggs now minus 250 to go number four. So, obviously someone's waking up before 10 a.m. on the East Coast and just hitting these even harder. So, again, these numbers are going to move throughout the day. And, look, a lot of these numbers are way past what their best numbers were. So I wouldn't bet Mobley. I wouldn't bet Suggs. I wouldn't bet Green. Even though I think at the end those are the guys that end up going where it is. Where if you want the exact, this is how heavy these favorites are for 1, 2, 3, 4 at this point. The exact result, which the top four exact result in the NFL draft, Jason, correct me if I'm really off base here, but the top four exactest short shot in the NFL never got lower than minus 120. That was around basically the peak of the shortness. We're looking at $2 here at BetMGM on the top four. Minus 200 on Cunningham, Green, Mobley, Suggs, 1, 2, 3, 4, which, hey, look, is about right from where you expect. Scotty Barnes is the big favorite to go number five right now, minus 275 with Orlando. holding that slot. And again, the draft seems to be beginning at number six, beginning based off of the betting markets on tonight's NBA draft. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles, in for Gil Alexander. Happy to be with you here on a Thursday morning. And now with us, senior writer and deputy editor over at UpRocks, it is Robbie Calland. Robbie, thank you for getting up early with us. And let's just dive right in. Let's just went through it. All the 1 through 5 heavy favorites, the expectation: Cunningham, Green, Mobley, Suggs, Barnes, the expected 1 through 5 tonight in the NBA draft. Is there any, are there any of those guys that you're a little bit uncertain of? Oh, well, maybe someone throws a wrench into the plans.
If it happens, I would think it would be Orlando at 5, just because we don't know what direction they're going to go. Obviously, Scottie Barnes fits their MO forever, which has been to draft a defensive guy. You know, they love long wingspanny defenders in Orlando, and he would fit the bill. Obviously, local guy being up the road in Tallahassee. The only other thing that could really throw this off is if Toronto backs out of 4 and somebody wants someone other than Suggs to jump into that, but I don't see why you would jump to 4 if Suggs isn't the guy. So even if Toronto trades out, that should be the Suggs pick. Everybody else, no, I think, you know, we've gotten to the point where we kind of have a pretty good idea. Even if there are trades, like I said, with 4, particularly Toronto seems the most likely to back out there if somebody comes with something really big. I just don't see how it's anybody other in that top 4. If there is some movement and a difference, it would be 5. And that would be if Orlando has had somebody come in that blew them away. If they decided Moses Moody was the guy there, you know, somebody like that, it would have to be a situation where someone blew Orlando away beyond Scottie Barnes.
Robbie, the number 6 is held by Oklahoma City, who roughly has 8,000 draft picks tonight and moving forward. But look, Oklahoma City's been rumored to a few guys, but I want to look at one in particular here, and it's James Bouknight out of UConn, mm-hmm. who has been a big mover and shaker in these betting odds. Was, again, you could have gotten about -150 even 5 days ago to go in the top 10. Now that number is close to -2,000 at most spots to go top 10. Now his draft slot is 6.5 at BetMGM with the shade actually to the under at -145. So based off of this, the expectation is OKC is going to be the team that takes Bouknight at 6. But, Robbie, I this feels like a reach with Bouknight at number 6 for Oklahoma City, if that is the pick.
I think what you're talking about with Bouknight is he's a scorer. Like, I mean, that's what you're getting, and you're getting a score, and you're just hoping everything falls into place. And I guess if you're OKC, what you're thinking is, we don't have that guy right now. You know, you have SGA, who is a fantastic guard, who apparently is on the trade market kind of, in the sense that, like, he's not untouchable anymore. You gotta come with quite the offer, but he's no longer untouchable per the reporting that's out there, which I think would be a mistake. But he's a spectacular lead ball handler, but you can play him off the ball. We've seen that in LA, and Bouknight's just a bucket getter, and we've seen in recent years that has become a more important archetype for teams that want to build a contender. And so I think you see teams being more willing to overlook the weaknesses. They're more willing to overlook that he doesn't pass the ball very well. They're more willing to overlook that he's not a tremendous defender. And they're just saying, look, we got to get guys that can score at all three levels. And there's not a whole lot of guys that come into the league ready to do that immediately. And obviously the swing skill for him is going to be 3-point shooting. If he can't shoot the 3 better than he did last year at UConn, he is not worth a top 10 pick anywhere close to it. But if you take that 80% free throw shooting and you project that out, you say, this guy should get better, then okay. Like, maybe it's a reach, but at the same time, if you're OKC, you're swinging on the upside guys anyway. And so if you don't love Kuminga, then Bouknight might be the next guy that has the best upside for what they're looking for.
Robbie Calland of UpRocks Sports with us right now here on a numbers game talking NBA draft. And Robbie, we saw the deal earlier in the week to move Memphis up to number 10. It seems that they may not be done trying to move up, Robbie. Yeah. And for a team that last year, look, beating Golden State in the play-in game was an important step for that franchise, with John Morant taking another step, at least into the real playoffs. What do you anticipate from Memphis tonight? Do you think they move up? Do you think they stand pat? And who would be the guy you would take if you were the Grizzlies with that 10th overall if they stand pat?
If they stand pat, I love Moses Moody for them. Like, you're talking about a team that needs a 3-and-D guy, and he comes in, and that is what he is immediately. You wonder what his potential is, and you wonder if there's maybe a little bit of a ceiling. But those are the guys that Memphis has taken, right? Like, they've been the guys who take the really good player and say, all right, we're just going to take the good basketball player. Like, that's been their MO for the last few years. And for them to move up, they clearly have somebody. I've heard there's been buzz that it could be Josh Giddey, and they want that secondary ball handler next to Ja Morant. The shooting around that pairing becomes a big question. If it is Giddey, who is a guy I like, but you know, like, that might be, it's a bit of an odd fit. Like, you can see it for some things, but other things, like the issues they had scoring the ball, I think that's what they have to address. Like, we saw that in that Utah series. Like, they just couldn't score the ball consistently if it was not Ja, and if Dylan Brooks was in foul trouble, they were in real, real deep stuff. I would go Moses Moody if he's available at 10. If they're targeting him, it wouldn't surprise me if they try to engage with maybe Orlando. Sacramento's a team that a bunch of people have linked with possibly trading back. So you might want to leap number 9. So you're talking with the Warriors, talking with the Magic. So much of what happens with Golden State is going to come down to who becomes available on the star market, and if 714 Wiseman and whatever is enough to get someone like that. Bradley Beal obviously is the buzzy name, but there are some other areas that could morph into. But I don't think Memphis has the current players to entice Golden State to move off of that, because if Golden State's moving 7, they're doing it for a win now player, and I'm not sure Memphis and Golden State's ideas align on that regard. But at 10, I would love Moses Moody for them. If it's not Moody, it seems to be Giddey based on the reporting that's out there.
So Moody right now, his draft slot is 11.5, juiced to the under at -150. Giddey at 10.5, a heavy juice on the under. Kind of surprised that hasn't moved to 9.5, actually, with 10.5, -250 right now for Josh Giddey to go in the top 10. Robbie, I want to move off the NBA draft and go to the NFL here. It's going to be NFC South Day today here on the show. Tampa Bay is a heavy favorite to win the division. Of course, they did not win the division a year ago, even though they won the Super Bowl. Looking at the other three teams in the division, though, Robbie, which one of those three teams do you think is most capable of torpedoing a Tampa Bay division crown this year?
I mean, I think it has to be the Saints. I think the Falcons are going to be better than they were last. I mean, they can't lose games the same way they did last year, can they? I mean, I'm from Atlanta, I should know better, but like they can't lose games quite like that. So I think Atlanta should be better. Obviously, losing Julio is a huge loss, but you know, they still have Calvin Ridley. They bolster things with Kyle Pitts, and you know, the defense can't be that bad in the fourth quarter again. I refuse to believe that, but it has to be the Saints. And I think it comes down to the weapons around Jameis, because I really don't think the step back for New Orleans is going to be all that steep at the quarterback position because of just how limited Breeze was last year and being able to push the ball downfield. They might be a little less consistent and a little more explosive, which I think in the end might just even out. The question is, with Michael Thomas hurt, and like it's going to be a lot of Alvin Kamara. So, like, if you're looking at Kamara receiving props, anything like that, I love overs on that, because they're just going to have to lean on that dude. He is by far the star of that offense. So I like Kamara over props if you got him. But I think it has to be the Saints if anybody's going to push Tampa Bay here.
Robbie, any concern that Sean Payton might actually go back to the Taysom Hill well, though?
I mean, there's always concern, right? he's, I don't know what blackmail Taysom Hill has on Sean Payton, but he can't quit him. You know, it's just going to depend on if he's able, like, it's really going to come down to how good Jameis looks, which obviously is also still a concern if Jameis can be consistently that guy. But, you know, all indications are that he's learned and grown since he's been in New Orleans. And, you know, he looked good when he was in the games last year. You have to be concerned that the Taysom thing's going to pop up. I don't think it's going to be as a starter, but that comes down to whether Jameis can avoid disaster, really. Man, seeing Jameis in the number two, shout out to Aaron Brooks, a legend. You can't have a number two in New Orleans and not make me think of Aaron Brooks.
Man, I haven't heard the Aaron Brooks name in a long time, so good shout to the early 2000s there, Robbie. By the way, you mentioned Kamara props. Right now at DraftKings, 945.5 on the rushing yards for Alvin, 10 rushing touchdowns, and then receptions at 70.5. Any of those stand out to over on the last
receptions.
One?
Receptions. I think he's going to be heavily used. And I think if you're talking about what the influence is of being in New Orleans last year and being behind Drew Brees for Jameis, it might be learning that the check down and finding Alvin Kamara is a really good option. And I think he's going to be looking for Alvin. I like over on reception. I think Alvin's going to get busy in the backfield catching the football.
I want to go to the Falcons real quick here, Robbie, because it's a new head coach in Arthur Smith. Obviously, Julio Jones not there anymore, but the pass catchers are still pretty darn good there. Calvin Ridley, a legitimate top five receiver in the league. Kyle Pitts, I expect to be right away, only behind Waller, Kelsey, and Kittle, a tight end. Should be an immediate impact for Pitts. But that defense, though, Robbie, is just so bad on paper. And even with their offense looking like it's going to take a step forward again, and Matt Ryan may be rejuvenated a little bit, that defense is really the reason why I don't think Atlanta is going to be able to compete here in this division.
Yeah, I mean you're 100% right. I mean you're talking about like I said, like they should win more games, but they're going to have to win them the way they won them last year, which is outscoring teams. They didn't really address the defense. Like they just didn't bring in a bunch of impact guys that they needed. And so you're still talking about a secondary that has holes. You're still talking about a front seven that just, you know, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. They're going to get after the quarterback a bunch. And maybe schematically they can change some things up to just be a little better and a little more solid. But yeah, I just, man, like I've got a lot of friends back home in Atlanta that are hoping that it gets better. And I'm like, man, y'all just might be a 7-10 football team.
Which would put them in by a half under their win total at 7.5. Robbie Calland with us right now of Up Rock Sports. Robbie, you are a fan. You are a fan and a connoisseur of bad college football.
That's correct.
Okay, so I have to ask you this because I saw this last night from WinBet, and my first thought was, this is the most diabolical prop I've ever seen college football wise, and that takes a lot.
I'm looking at it now. It's
diabolical.
Ugly as sin.
Yeah, so we've talked about the good teams on this program. Let's go to the worst in college football. And shout out to WinBet for doing this. More combined wins for these groupings, okay? The favorite group here at -125, UNLV, Akron, and UMass. Just horrible teams. The underdog here at +105, Louisiana Monroe, Kansas, and UConn. Robbie, we have about 90 seconds here.
Yeah.
Call me crazy if you want, but the value's on the plus money.
Oh, my God.
Because UConn, to me, is pretty clearly the best of these six teams.
Yeah, the value's on the plus money. One, UConn. First off, the best part of this might come down to UConn versus UMass in week 9. We get that football game, and we're going to love it. Secondly, like, UL Monroe's bad, but like they play in the Sun Belt and there's also some really bad teams there. They might pick up a win or two in conference. UConn, I think, also has Holy Cross on the schedule, so like that should be a win. I think they also play Yale. UL Monroe's out of the conference is a disaster. Kansas might not win a game. Akron's out of conference is pretty tough. UMass, I think, has a pretty tough one. It's got to be the plus money. If nothing else, this should be a coin flip, and you're getting plus money. And like you said, UConn's probably the best team on here. They have two winnable games. Obviously, they don't have a conference schedule, but two winnable games against non-FBS opponents. And they get UMass. We're hammering plus 105. We're going to take it to the window. And drinks on me off of UMass, off of UConn.
Yes, as we all expected, A, to actually talk about Connecticut football here this morning, and B, to actually want to bet on UConn doing something. Well, of course, remember, Connecticut did not play a year ago, opting out completely of the COVID season. He's Robbie Calland. You find his work at UpRocks. You find him on the tweets at rcalland. Robbie, thank you for being with us this morning, and I'm happy I was able to bring this diabolical prop to your attention.
It made my morning, Jeff. A pleasure as always. Y'all be good.
Of course. Thank you, Robbie. Getting up early with us here on a numbers game. Look, Jason, I am in a scenario where I usually will not bring up the bad college football teams because it's almost auto fade on those horrible teams. But that prop is the most diabolical thing I think I've ever seen college football wise. When we get back here on a numbers game, let's go to the defending Super Bowl champions. Let's look at the outlook for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this 2021 season. How motivated will they be in the regular season? And they should coast to a division championship. That's next on a numbers game on VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
All season just around the corner. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada. It's the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagers along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing wagers from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is a numbers game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Quick note here on NBA draft betting. John Ewing of BetMGM just tweeting out the line movement, as we discussed a little bit with Robbie Calland, of the top five picks, of how it has just gone heavy towards these guys that are expected to go in these slots. Cade Cunningham was always a huge favorite. Minus 500 to open. Now he's minus 5,000 at BetMGM to go number one. Jalen Green, as high as plus 175. Now minus 500 to go number two. Evan Mobley, plus 175 to go number three. Minus 350 now to go number three. So he opened plus 175, now minus 350. Jalen Suggs opening plus 110 to go number four. He's now minus 250 to go number four. And then Scotty Barnes, actually a bigger favorite at the moment than Jalen Suggs to go number five than Suggs is to go four. Barnes plus 105 to go number five to open, now minus 275 at BetMGM. John Ewing on the tweet. As always, thanks to John for putting out the good information. Let's go to the NFC South. Last year, the New Orleans Saints won the division, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won what matters more, the Lombardi, their second Super Bowl championship in franchise history. Tom Brady, guy's pretty good. Number seven for Brady with that championship last year. Of course, the first team to ever play in a Super Bowl in their home building, and Tampa Bay took full advantage, just eviscerating the Chiefs last year, 30-9 in Super Bowl 55, 31-9, I should say, down in Tampa last year at Raymond James Stadium. Let's look at the Bucs preview here. The profile on your screen, they are a 6.5-point favorite against Dallas Thursday night to open the season. Win total 11.5. That is some pretty significant juice on the over at minus 165 with 11.5. And I understand it. Completely understand it. Schedule's pretty soft, all things considered. They have a second-place schedule instead of a first-place schedule in a division that seems to me must be much worse than it was a year ago. Make the playoffs minus 650. You're laying a whole boatload there. That's the right odds. Plus 450 if they think they're going to miss the playoffs. If Tom Brady stays healthy, Tampa Bay's not missing the playoffs. Minus 200 to win the South. Plus 310 to win the NFC, that's your favorite. And plus 650 to win the Super Bowl, that's your co-favorite with Kansas City right now at BetMGM. Let's look at Tampa's schedule here. Week one, the win against Dallas. Just looking at the first half of the schedule, they have a bye in week nine. The only game that I really look at as a true potential loss is the Rams. Week three, L.A. beat them a year ago down in Tampa. Again, different look Ram team, as we know. Other than that, they're going to be favored in every other game before the bye. If the Rams get off to a lackluster start, I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa's favored at SoFi in week three. But if you look at the schedule, and this is how you kind of handicap it, and I know it'll be a little backwards when you see the record projection, but I'm a little lower win season-wise because I think Tampa's going to be resting their guys the last few weeks of the season. They're going to be favored probably if they have to play their guys the whole way through. They'd be favored to me in 16 out of 17 games. Only week three, the Rams. But the one concern that I have is they're going to be so far out in front and win this division. By the way, minus 200 is not bad value, even though you're laying a price. There's no one in this division that's capable of beating Tampa in a division this year, unless if Tampa decides to just mail it in for a good chunk of the regular season while they were working out the Kings last year. But all 22 starters return. It's the first time in NFL history that I've heard that all 22 starters from any team, not just the Super Bowl champion, returning for this 2021 season. Looking at Tampa's season this year, I have them only winning 11 games. But part of the reason I have them at 11-6 is I think they're clinching the division in early December. They're going to cruise. So it's a no bet on the win total. Even though if you bet it over 11.5 or bet it at 12, I have no problem with that. The only concern that you have to look at is if you think Tampa's going to be so far out in front, don't be shocked if they rest their guys over the course of the last 3 weeks of the season, which would be Carolina twice and the Jets. He could still win all three of those games, resting those guys. Oh, and Tom Brady, I have leading the NFL in touchdown passes. You can get that in the pocket of 6-1. Coming up next, we're going to Carolina. That's next here on A Numbers Game on VSiN.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Tomorrow's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod features Saratoga Live TV host Lafitte Pinkeye discussing Saturday's Vanderbilt Handicap and the Jim Dandy Stakes. John and Mike Bard. Remember the late Dale Bard, whose record as North America's winningest trainer is about to fall. Las Vegas horse player and bookmaker Paul Zilm handicaps this weekend's races. Subscribe now at iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher, or download it tomorrow at vsin.com/podcast. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod brought to you by First Bet. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Paul Carr with us in 10 minutes to give out. Again, all Paul Carr does is give out winners. Two easy ones. Non-sweaters last weekend in the Gold Cup. We have two more plays for Paul as the Gold Cup resumes tonight. And, oh, by the way, the Gold Cup final is on Sunday, a few miles north of here. Just off I-15 at Allegiant Stadium. And the hope for all the fans that bought all the tickets in 12 minutes is that it's Team USA in Mexico. Mexico in action tonight. Team USA in action tonight. Team USA taking on Qatar in one of the two semifinals in the Gold Cup. Let's go back to the NFC South, though. Let's go to Charlotte. Let's go to Carolina. off-season changes for the Panthers. Sam Darnold, they trade a few draft picks for the former number three overall pick. The Jets give up on him. And Carolina, who last year went 5-11 after giving Teddy Bridgewater a big contract, said that's enough. He's not our guy. They release Bridgewater, or excuse me, send Bridgewater out to Denver. Carolina, 7.5 win total, shade under -125 to make the playoffs, +260 this year, -350 to miss, 10-1 to win the South, 35-1 to win the NFC, 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. We don't have to worry about any of those ones on the bottom. They're not winning the division. They're not winning the NFC. They're not winning the Super Bowl. So let's look at this schedule right out of the gate for Carolina. The revenge game out in week one. Sam Darnold takes on his former team, the New York Jets. By the way, Zach Wilson is still not in training camp because he's the only draft pick who hasn't signed yet. Like, what are we doing here, guys? I mean, what are we doing here there in New York? And again, this is kind of actually a similar situation to what happened with Darnold when he was drafted. Offset language discussions between the Jets and Darnold's agent 4 years ago now. Darnold missed the first 3 days of camp. Wilson looks like he's going to miss at least the first 2 days. But look, as a Jet fan, Jason Kahn, there are a few things that are certain in life. If it's a revenge spot like this, Carolina's winning week one. They're winning week one and Darnold's playing well. And the entire New York media is going to go nuts watching Sam Darnold torch the Jets in week one. That will be short-lived, though, because you look at this schedule. If Carolina's going to stay in things this year, they have to take advantage of the first 8 weeks of this schedule. They have to. If they don't start out at least 5-3 in these first 8 weeks, this is going to be a long season and an easy under for the Carolina Panthers. And look, even those games in week 7 and 8 on the road, that's not easy. Darnold going back to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. At Atlanta, a divisional road game, not an easy test for the Carolina Panthers. And look, I like their weapons. I like Robbie Anderson. I like DJ Moore. Terrence Marshall was a guy who was probably going to go in the first round if he didn't have the late injury concerns. Their wide receivers are the best wide receivers that Sam Darnold has ever had. Oh, and by the way, the Christian McCaffrey guy is pretty good when he's healthy. The concern is I'm not sure McCaffrey can play 17 games without getting hurt. But you look at that defense, there are some pieces to really like. I love their first-round draft pick out of South Carolina, J.C. Horn. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league at corner. Brian Burns, an elite pass rusher. I like Gross Matos as well on the opposite side. But the rest of that defense, other than a few select names, is extraordinarily questionable to me. And for a team that their defense struggled last year, and of course, offensively, you have the right offensive coordinator in place in Joe Brady. You have a head coach I really like in Matt Rhule. But the defense is just going to hold this team back. Atlanta and Carolina are pretty similar, actually. Offense is, again, if Darnold is capable, Carolina's offense could look a little bit like Atlanta's. But both of these defenses are not good. And Darnold, I think, is going to turn the ball over a ton. Him and Daniel Jones are going to be in a race to the bottom for most turnovers this year. And I think Darnold's going to win that race to the bottom and lead the league in turnovers. Look, Carolina's going to get off to a good start. They're going to fool us. There are a few teams, them and Jacksonville in particular, teams that I don't think are any good, teams that have really soft early schedules. They could start out hot and end up faltering down the stretch. So I'm going to go Carolina 6-11 on the year. I want to look at the Atlanta Falcons. Here, we still have a few minutes before we get to Paul Carr. I know our guy Jason Codd has a few bets on Arthur Smith to win coach of the year. The Falcons, 7.5 on their win total, +240 to make the playoffs. 3.5-point favorites week one to win the South, 9-1, 66-1 to win the NFC, 125 to win the Super Bowl. You're laying $3 for them to miss the playoffs. Now, Atlanta's defense is bad. Atlanta's defense is really bad still. But that offense, even with trading Julio Jones, still has some pieces that are really good. Matt Ryan, I'm not sure how much Matt Ryan has left in the tank, But they're going to be trailing in so many games because of that defense that Matt Ryan statistically is going to have a pretty good looking year here. Calvin Ridley's a superstar. Kyle Pitts is going to be a superstar pretty quickly. Their running back situation's a mess, by the way. Their running back situation's a complete mess with Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson looking like they're two running backs. That's going to be a mess for Atlanta. The defense is horrible. Absolutely horrible for the Falcons. And you look at their schedule here for Atlanta, and look, you have a game week one. You should beat Philadelphia at home in week one as a 3.5-point favorite. If you don't win that game, this is going to be a very long season for Atlanta. There are a lot of swing games. There are a lot of winnable games on this schedule for Atlanta, especially in those first 5 weeks. Look, they'll lose week two at Tampa. But other than that, technically three home games with the Jet game in the UK, and the only other road games, the Giants, they're capable of at least having a good start, but I don't think it's going to happen because that defense stinks. I'm going 5-12. The defense is the reason. But Matt Ryan has a huge statistical season, and I actually like him to lead the league in passing yards because they're going to be trailing a lot and having to come back. A lot of junk yards coming for Matt Ryan this year, 14-1 on that number. Paul Carr with some Gold Cup picks next here on A Numbers Game.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Turn a $1 wager into $100 with a risk. Well, actually, excuse me here. Make your first bet risk-free at BetMGM for up to $600 by using the code VSIN600. That's VSIN600 when you sign up for the King of Sportsbooks and get ready for showtime. So download the app at BetMGM.com or go to the App Store. VSIN600 is the promo code that you use. It's a new customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to place a wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text REDLINE 1-800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. And again, the code VSIN600, that's VSIN600. First bet, risk-free, up to $600 with that promo code at BetMGM. It is A Numbers Game here on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. And now with us, it's a man who only gives away winners of True Media Sports. It's Paul Carr. Paul, no sweat with either of the two plays from last weekend at all. That was routine, Paul.
Man, that was about as nice as it gets. What? Qatar put up three relatively early, and to hit the 2.5 over, Mexico cruised by Honduras. That was a nice day.
Yeah, they always love the non-sweaty days. That's for sure. Yeah. Especially in December here, Paul. Let's dive in tonight. In Austin, the biggest event that new stadium will have had is happening tonight. The crowd's going to be amazing there. Qatar and Team USA. Yes, the matchup we all expected in a CONCACAF tournament. But look, Paul, you've mentioned this. This is nowhere near the A squad for Team USA, and it's pretty close to the A squad, if not the actual A squad for Qatar. Right now, Team USA is a favorite tonight, but you're looking at the road team tonight in this one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I was trying to think about it. Like, if you took the names, countries, whatever, off the jerseys and just watched these two teams play with no preconceptions during the tournament, that's a hard thing to do, obviously, and there are intangibles in play, whatever. But Qatar's really been better than the U.S. at this tournament. I mean, pretty much any number supports that, whether it's, you know, they have more goals, they have more expected goals, they have more shots than the U.S. They're taking better shots. Qatar has allowed more goals. Part of that's because the U.S. keeper match Turner's been really good and probably saved about three goals on his own so far. But Qatar's been better. They've been in more control of their games. You know, you can quibble over the competition level that each team has faced, but Qatar's just been better. They've been really good at defending and counterattacking, and not in the traditional, you know, park the bus type of sense, but just playing, you know, a good solid kind of a mid-block, midfield type of defense and creating some good opportunities, which is kind of what Canada and Jamaica did pretty well against the U.S. at times, and the U.S. didn't have a lot of answers creatively for that. So all that to say, I like Qatar in this matchup. You get pretty good price. I'm going to play Qatar plus half a goal. Minus 115 is the number I got it at. I think there's a real case to play them to win around plus 300, maybe to advance at plus 165 or so. I'm going to play plus half a goal. And of course, that's regulation. So if they get, you know, through 90 minutes and it's nil-nil, 1-1, whatever it might be, you win that bet.
Yeah, just again, a reminder, since we're in the knockout stage here, if all these three-way lines, it's only the 90-plus stoppage time. If you want the full max, you have to take the two advanced markets, which you still get a pretty nice price mm-hmm. on Qatar if you think they're going to upset Team USA tonight in Austin. Yeah. Let's go to Houston and... Look, Mexico, they were dominant against Honduras on Saturday. Canada advances by Costa Rica, Paul, but the injuries starting to pile up for Team Canada. Mexico now up to minus 180 consensus, minus 185 in the market, Paul. But even at a price like that, Paul, you still have to think about Mexico tonight in Houston.
I think so. I played Mexico to win this one at minus 170. I'd still play it at minus 185, maybe a little bit higher, but not too much. And yeah, Mexico's been the best team at the tournament. This is not a surprise. They were the pre-tournament favorite. They have not quite their A team, but pretty close to it. You know, there's a few injuries. Chucky Lozano's gotten hurt during the tournament. A couple other guys that are missing, whether it's for the Olympics or otherwise. But yeah, it's pretty close to the A team, far more an A team than, say, the U.S. has. Canada's good. They're solid. Beating Costa Rica is a big deal for them. They can kind of stake their claim as the third best team in CONCACAF behind Mexico and the U.S. But Mexico's just a lot better here. They've outscored opponents 7-0. I think we touched on it last week. They had a scoreless game against Trinidad, but they outshot them 30-4. So, you know, that's an extreme example. Trinidad is not as good as Canada. But Mexico is just far better. It's really simple. I'm trying not to overthink this one a lot. I think Mexico wins this one in regulation. So I played it at minus 170, and I'd go a little bit higher on that.
Paul, the Olympics continue to roll on, and for Team USA women, it's been a disappointing tournament so far. Get beat by mm-hmm. Sweden 3-0. They handled their business against New Zealand, which, again, that was another one you liked a little bit last week. And then a really sluggish match the other day against Australia, a 0-0, where a point on each side got both teams through. It kind of looked like one of those where it's like, well, we're both moving through. It's okay if no one scores here. But what happened with that, though, Paul, is that Team USA got a pretty tough draw with a team that has looked pretty good in this tournament in the Netherlands. What direction would you look to go with this one, Team USA and the Dutch in the Olympics?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, this is a rematch of the 2019 World Cup final. The U.S. mm-hmm. won 2-0, although that score is kind of deceiving. It was closer than that. Coming into this tournament, U.S. was the clear-cut favorite, and generally Netherlands was considered the second-best team, and now they're meeting in the quarterfinals. U.S. is still the betting favorite. The Dutch are about the fourth, mostly because they're playing the U.S. Man, I would really lean Netherlands here. I mean, it's tough to compare the numbers because of the levels of competition you play in these small sample sizes. But the Dutch have put up 21 goals in three games, and that's exaggerated by 10 goals against Zambia, and I think it was 8 against China. So this is not a team that's going to hang 6 on the U.S., we think. But they have the kind of firepower. They have younger players, which is overly simplistic, but the U.S. players have looked sluggish, and part of it was intentional against Australia. Like you said, they didn't really care if they won, but I really wonder if the U.S. has that second or third gear that they have traditionally had, where they can sub in a couple players off the bench and blow somebody off the field. I'm not convinced they'll be able to do that against the Dutch. So, yeah, I lean towards the Netherlands. This is an early morning game tomorrow. You could get the Dutch to win in 90 around plus 160. You got to pay juice if you want to get them given half a goal around minus 160. But that's the direction I lean. I mean, the Dutch have clearly been better than the U.S. at this tournament. They are definitely younger. I mean, they're hungrier for what that's worth. And this continues a tradition. We've never had a reigning Women's World Cup winner that has won the Olympics. It's just hard to put together back-to-back tournaments over a 1 or 2 year span for these teams for a variety of reasons. So yes, I would lean toward the Dutch here. The U.S. are slight favorites, but I would lean toward Netherlands.
Paul, one more question on just the Olympic Women's Tournament, because Team USA is a plus 160 favorite to win gold still. Great Britain at plus 375, Sweden at plus 450, and the Dutch at 6-1, Paul. Based off of what you're saying, is the Netherlands the play here at 6-1, or is it just stay off and see if, again, you'd be taking a lot shorter of a number if they beat Team USA, but just make sure to get by if they were to pull the upset against Team USA tomorrow at 7 a.m.?
Yeah, I'm not. We talk about this a lot. I think Gil and I, at least, there's probably not a lot of value in that future, just because you can either, you know, whatever, play it individually, or wait till they get past the biggest hurdle, something like that. But yeah, so that's kind of the way I would lean there. If I had to take a future, I'd probably lean towards Sweden, just because they've been the best team at the tournament so far, and they just seem to have the right mentality on the field and the right execution on the field as well. But yeah, you're paying, it's plus 400, plus 500, kind of depending on where it looks. Still not great value there, but that's kind of the way I would look if I had to pick a team to come out of the quarters so far.
Let's review Paul's picks one more time. We'll put them on the screen, and Paul, go right ahead and tell everyone what you have for tonight's action in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I like Qatar. I kind of feel anti-patriotic or something. I'm betraying my inner fan here. Maybe it's an emotional hedge. I don't know. But I like Qatar plus half a goal versus the U.S. I got it at minus 115. Again, I just think they're playing better. Again, they have their A team for what that's worth. It's obviously a small country, but they've recruited a lot of players from other countries and naturalized them. And there's sort of shenanigans going on. But ultimately, they're a solid team on the field, and they've been better than the U.S. at this tournament. So I like them getting half a goal. I like Mexico against Canada just because they're far better. Canada's a good team. They're on the rise, but they're not there yet, and Mexico's got almost its best team. So I like them to win from the don't overthink it category at minus 170.
The don't overthink it category is a very important aspect of all of this, Paul. Mexico, up to minus 185, but Paul earlier saying still pretty good at minus 185 on Mexico against Canada, and then Team USA, Qatar, taking Qatar. Getting a half a goal against Team USA in Austin. He's Paul Carr, True Media Sports, and ESPN Chalk as well. Paul, thank you for being with us this morning.
You bet. And one thing I'll add, Mexico's playing in Houston. That's a home game.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. I don't know what the capacity is. I think it's 40,000 or so, maybe a little higher. I mean, it's going to be like they're playing in Mexico City, basically. So that's something to consider, too.
Well, yeah, and I don't think Canadian soccer fans are traveling to Houston yet. I don't think that's happening. Paul, thank you for being with us this morning.
You bet. Have a good one, Jeff.
Coming up next here on The Numbers Game, Sean King, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback, is going to be with us next to continue our look at the NFC South and much more across the NFL. Sean King, our guest next as we continue on here on The Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.